You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
Legend has it that Mallory made it farther up the mountain than anyone, but was lost trying to rescue an incompetent fellow climber, famously known as the Neverest Mini.
George Mallory, he died as he lived, freezing.
Ach, stop your havering. That's just a load of nonsense to sell t-shirts to tourists. We're going to outdo that quitter malady by making it to the top.
You realize there's a difference between quitting and dying, right?
Not to me.
Hello and welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for DuckTales Season 1, Episode 9, The Impossible Summit of Mount Neverest. I'm one of your hosts, Michael Cohen.
And I am your other host, Curtis Findlay.
And we are back after a needlessly long but slightly confusing but also totally logical break because, well, there's one line in this episode that justifies yeah. it being held until December. It's a little obnoxious that they did that, but, hey, for people who've been listening since episode one, Curtis called this.
I did. I called it right
you
away.
You said it right in the, I think in our first episode, it's like, it's going to be held off, or maybe not our first, but our first episode covering the show when we were talking about the episode numbers and what was coming up. You were like, yeah, it seems like the second episode's being held, and oftentimes that happens because blah, blah, blah.
I don't know what it is, but I've seen multiple times that one of the very first episodes that's produced is a Christmas episode. The first yeah. episode of Batman the Animated Series, the first Joker episode is a Christmas episode. And same with, like, I can just think of The Tick and Batman Brave and Bold off the top of my head. Like, there's... And even The New Adventures of Batman, all of these Christmas episodes come right at the very beginning, and I'm not sure why.
Interesting.
This one did too.
I you know what? I would bet that it is because the networks probably request them, right?
Yeah.
So that they can do, especially back in like the 90s, so that they could do a little, let's do a little like Christmas block 1 week. Right, because I can remember vividly back in the day with like Fox Kids and ABC Saturday mornings and stuff like that. Like around Christmas, you would get the block that was.
Oh,
this
sure.
morning, it's all the Christmas episodes.
Yep. What a glorious time that was.
Yeah, yeah, man. Obviously, because the whole reason that we do this podcast is because we are nostalgic for that era.
Yep.
But. I miss like Saturday morning cartoons being appointment television. It's Cara and I get up on Saturday mornings and we watch Ghostbusters and we'll watch other stuff that's on Netflix, but it's kind of up to us and sometimes we don't because we go out or whatever. But just getting up, I used to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays as a kid. Like you couldn't get me out of bed to go to school during the week. But 6 o'clock would hit, and I was up because at 6:30, Sonic the Hedgehog was on ABC. So like I was there for it with my bowl of cereal, and you couldn't stop me. But nowadays it's like it's all on demand. It's 24/7.
And if you missed it, unless you like programmed your VCR or something like that, yep. like you missed it, and you couldn't see it again until a rerun, which was unpredictable. Yep. So in this day and age, yes, you can still get up and watch the brand new episode of DuckTales, but that afternoon it's on the Disney Now app and like yeah. it's not a big deal at all.
Yeah, it's just not the same.
Not at all.
Yeah. But this episode finally really feels like a DuckTales episode. I felt like out of all of them so far for the new series, this one feels the most like a classic DuckTales episode to me. But before we get into that, let's just jump into our news really quick. And Curtis, we have a little bit of news for the show.
Entertainment Weekly just put out their list of the best new television shows of 2017, and DuckTales actually made the list, number 8. So good for it. Good job, everybody in the cast and crew that is working on the show. Congratulations on that. That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and you know what? I think well deserved. I mean, I made the comment that, you know, this is the first one that feels like classic DuckTales. But that being said, the show has been, I think, pretty phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they could have just done a quick sort of cash in on the nostalgia. But they didn't. This is its own beast. Like, it has its own quirks and fun stuff about it that makes it unique from its predecessors, in both the original animated series as well as the comics. So I think that they've done such a great job in creating a show that's super fun for kids, that I think that they love, they enjoy watching, and then also for us adults. I mean, there's so much to enjoy about this series if you're an adult, and I don't even think you need to be nostalgic for Disney Afternoon or DuckTales specifically in order to enjoy it. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why it is on that list for best shows, yeah, in 2017. It's well deserved, I think. They've totally done such a great job.
Yep, I agree.
Well, let's get into the episode. So, as I said, this is the impossible summit of Mount Neverest. Here's the episode description. Scrooge and Huey are determined to be the first to set foot atop an impossible summit. But the snow-capped mountain holds a treacherous secret that tests both their willpower and survival skills. So this one aired December 2nd, 2017. Written by Frank Ngonez and Noel Stevenson, and directed by Tom Owens and Matt Youngberg.
For those of you who listen to our other podcast, the Pullbox Podcast, mm-hmm, or if you don't listen to it, maybe you should check out this episode called Lumberjanes, because Noel Stevenson is one of the creators of Lumberjanes, which is a great all-ages comic.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a great connection to some content that we've already done.
Yep.
Awesome. Cool. Like I said before, I mean, I love this episode. This, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think this is my favorite episode of the series so far.
Oh, wow.
It has everything that I want it to have. The gang's all there, which is a big part of it. Scrooge is actually in the episode. He's also, like, a main character in this episode. He's not just sort of secondary. It's got a really great message to it, again. And of course, the B plot with Launchpad.
Yeah, I knew you'd like that.
Incredible. It's so good. Snow Fever is when it starts snowing, I'm gonna start Instagramming Snow Fever posts. If it starts snowing in Vancouver, let's hope that it doesn't. But everybody gets snow fever around here, whether it's real or not, every time it snows. But yeah, I loved it. And right at the beginning of the episode, when they kind of land and they're going through the bazaar, and a Launchpad gets taken by the guy, and he walks up to Scrooge and he's like, "I'm ready to go." And Scrooge is like, "Where'd you get all of that junk? Like, how did you afford it?" And he's like, "Oh, Louis gave me his corporate credit card." Scrooge is like, "Louis doesn't have a corporate credit card." And then there's like a beat. There's like a solid 1 second beat. And then Launchpad's like, "Oh, Louis gave me your credit card." And then they just kind of move on from it. But it's so good because, like, Launchpad just, he's stupid and gullible, but he's also, like, he catches on pretty quick.
Now,
I love that moment.
All three of your top three moments are Launchpad, so you might as well say them all. Oh, no.
Last one is a Scrooge right. one.
Okay, but, do your yeah. other Launchpad one now, and I want to say something about Launchpad after.
Okay, cool. My second one is after he ends up in the hot spring, and he pulls himself out, and he's, he's succumbing to it, right? He's succumbing to snow fever, and he's like, I'm just going to give up, and then he springs out of the water, and he's like, no, this is not the end of Launchpad McQuack. It will be by plane crash or not at all. And I was just like, that's dark. Like, it gets real dark for about a split second there, where Launchpad's like, I will die in a plane.
Yep.
I know I'm going to die in a plane crash, and I just love it. It's like, it'll be by plane crash or not at all. It's just this great resilience, but stupidity from definitely my favorite character on the show.
Okay, my comment about Launchpad is that I've really liked how they've treated this character. I've really liked his humor. But I have yet to feel like he's part of the team.
Mm.
All of his adventures have been on his own. And all of his humor and everything have been on his own. He hasn't really integrated well into the team unit yet.
I think, like, now I'd have to go back and double check on Terror of the Terraformians, but I'm pretty sure in that episode he's paired with Louis as well, right?
He's paired with Dewey. Dewey's the one who he believes is a mole person.
Oh, is that Dewey? Okay, yeah.
And but still, it's he's in his own world for even in those scenes that he's with Louis.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree. I do get that same sense where he's just like a little bit detached from the rest of the group. And he really does. He feels like somebody who works for Scrooge McDuck as opposed to being as a kid, I always thought of Launchpad as being Scrooge's best friend. Right. And then when he transfers over to Darkwing Duck, he becomes Darkwing's best friend. Right. But I don't know. There's an element to it where you're like, maybe they're keeping him detached for a reason. You know, like maybe at some point he's going to spin off onto his own show or a show with another character. I don't know. Right? Like there is a weird way that they've done that. But the other part of it is that classic DuckTales episodes, I feel like, don't really have an A and a B story. Right? They just kind of have a through line.
Yeah.
And maybe there'll be like a running gag or something like that. Or maybe there'll be like a split story, like when we talked about Earthquack on the last episode. That is definitely an instance where there are two competing storylines.
That's true.
But
yeah.
But there's not an A and a B story. They are both part of the A story. The A story just splits the team into two, right?
Right.
But this show is much more and I think that the Simpsons really kind of they kind of perfected this model of, like, you know, the first 30 seconds of the episode sort of sets it up, and then your main characters for that episode go off on whatever adventure they're on, and then you've got a B story over here that's doing its thing, right? And DuckTales has definitely taken that model, that very like animated sitcom model that, like I said, The Simpsons and Family Guy have done really well. Like they've really, really perfected that to the point where it's like, it's so obvious that it gets a little bit annoying at times.
Oh, they don't even try to hide it.
Yeah, exactly. But they've taken it and they've added it into the DuckTales formula. And so I think that's where that's kind of coming from, because it also reminds me of the episode, the one where Lena is introduced, because Webby and Lena go off on the A story, and then it's a bit of a running gag, but it's also kind of a B story. Some of it happens off screen, but Huey, Dewey, and Louie have their own plot in that episode that kind of goes off on its own and then comes back into the main story.
Yeah.
And like I said, the Terror of the Terraformians has an A-B plot as well. And most of the episodes that have featured Donald, I think, have had an A and a B plot. So,
well, all I know is I'm waiting for Launchpad to be part of the A plot.
Yeah, to sort of like stick with the main team.
Yeah, and let Donald Duck have the B story or something like that.
You know, I would really love to get an episode that really focuses on Scrooge and Launchpad, and that does actually like cement their friendship a little bit more. That changes the dynamic, and who knows, that could be something that's sort of like in the plans, right? That they'll develop that over time, because as we've talked about before, there's a little bit more of a mythology sort of serialized element to this than there was to the original DuckTales series.
Well, we've only had 9 episodes now.
Yeah.
And they're still working their way through introducing us to each cast member individually. And we haven't really had a Beakley episode, and we haven't had a Donald episode. Well, I guess Lucky Gander was kind of a Donald episode. And once we come back in January, we could see that Launchpad episode come out.
Yeah, Lucky Gander reminds me that Launchpad has a C story that's all off screen.
Yes, he does.
That is my favorite part of that episode.
Again, he could have joined the cast and gone along in that journey. He would have fit perfectly in, but they decided to take him completely out, which was hilarious, but he wasn't part of the team.
I think that a lot of the decisions that they're making along those lines have to do with the fact that the voice cast is, it's fairly prolific, right? Like, everybody on the cast this is not their main gig, right? Yeah. And I think back in the day when you're doing animated stuff, you're using voice actors that are primarily voice actors, and specifically primarily cartoon voice actors.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you had a little bit more flexibility with, like, you can just throw everybody in the episode. But I think with this, there are scheduling things, and I think that they try and, I think they also have to keep the cost down on episodes.
But I don't think they pay them by the line. Like, Launchpad could be featured in an entire episode instead of just at the beginning.
I think
as
I understand it, you get paid by session, regardless of sort of like how big of a character you are. Yeah. James Arnold Taylor, whenever I talked to him, and like we'd be talking about voice acting and stuff, like that was the understanding that I got, is that...
Oh, I think so, yeah.
You get paid by session, right?
So I guess they could do, if Launchpad only has a few lines in each episode, they can do it all in one session.
Exactly. Yeah, like the Lucky Gander episode, you get those 4 lines that he has in the entire episode, you tag that on to the end of a session from an episode like this one.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you just go, oh, by the way, here's the pages for the next episode, just read them.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, I think that there's a certain element of that going on where people are not in the same room to record. They're kind of all over the place. So I think that's an element that's at play. But
Interesting.
Go ahead. You tell me some of your favorite parts of this episode.
Okay, my favorite line is at the very beginning when Louis says we could have spent Christmas at home or something like that, and Scrooge is like, waiting for Santa Claus, and Scrooge says, that man is not allowed in my house. He knows what he did.
I love it.
Yep.
Because it's just that casual, the casual reference to the fact that Scrooge is friends with Santa Claus.
Well, is feuding with Santa Claus.
Yeah, is feuding with Santa Claus. Yeah, I should say that.
So good.
Yeah, they've had an adventure previous, right?
Yep,
It kind of ties into your next thing.
Yeah, so in this, he says that 75 years ago is when he went on his first expedition to Neverest. Mm-hmm. 75 years ago. So how old do you think Scrooge is? Because he had just made his first million. Yeah. And did he do that while he was still a child? Or did he do that as an adult? If he's 20 when he made his first million, that would place him at 95 years old right now. So, and he's probably actually a lot older than that.
it's kind of funny. And I think that they did that on purpose to just be like, it doesn't matter. Right? Yeah. Like Scrooge is old. That's the, That's kind of the joke there, is like Scrooge is an old man.
Yeah.
And he's been around for a long time. The other aspect of that might be that Scrooge, there could be a mystical component to it, right?
Oh,
I wouldn't rule it
keeping
out.
It, well, yeah, the Fountain of Youth could come into play. I know that was in the in classic DuckTales Fountain of Youth episode. In fact, there might have been two of them.
It could totally come into play at some point, though. Like, it's somebody, I can hear Louis being like, "How old are you?" and them trying to figure that out, right?
Yeah.
And it could end up being a bit of a running gag, I think. Like I said, you know, my first two moments were Launchpad, but my last one's actually a Scrooge moment. And they're in the cave, and it's they read the "Curse You, McDuck" on the wall, and everybody kind of turns to Scrooge, and they're all making a big deal about it, and he's just like, he just kind of nonchalantly moves past it, right? Like, he just kind of dismisses it and moves past it, and they're like, you're being kind of, you know, cavalier about the fact that somebody, you know, it's like, and Scrooge is like, if I had a nickel for every time someone cursed me with their last breath, I'd be twice as rich as I already am.
What's crazy is that it's not just every time someone cursed me, it's if someone cursed me with their last breath. How many people have died because of a feud with Scrooge?
Well, you know, he is smarter than the smarties and tougher than the toughies,
it's
right?
True.
So you don't get a catchphrase like that without outlasting a few smarties and toughies.
No kidding.
I think that and you know, so some of those characters may already have been dead because maybe they were a ghost or something like that. So, you know, last breath. He's specific about last breath, not
ghosts,
dying breath.
Ghosts
right?
don't breathe, though.
Well, you never know. I mean, like, sometimes you get the cold chill and stuff like that. Who
okay.
knows? Who knows? How many ghosts do you know?
Not very many.
Yeah, exactly. So I just love it. There's such a, there's a few moments in this episode that really establish that Scrooge has this great checkered past. And one of the things that I really like about it is that it shows that he was once a bit more like the nephews than he is now, right? And so one of the main through lines throughout the series has been Scrooge sort of passing on his wisdom to the nephews and being like, you got to work for what you want. It's not going to come easy, you know, like when he's telling Louis about diving into the money bin, and he's like, it's years of muscle memory and practice and all that sort of thing. And this is an episode that actually sort of digs back into his past and shows there was a point in time where he wasn't everything that he is now, right? That he might be the adventuring hero billionaire that he is today, but at one point in time, 75 years ago, he was terrified and abandoned. What's the guy? I can't remember the guy's name, but you know, they you know, he's come a long way, right? And it really reminds me actually of the Gold Rush storyline from classic DuckTales, where those episodes are mostly like that storyline takes place mostly in flashbacks, and the Scrooge that we're introduced to at the beginning of that story is very different from the Scrooge McDuck that we know.
Yeah.
Right. And it sort of like showed, you know, through his interactions with Goldie and everything, how he became the Scrooge McDuck that he is. Right. So this is one of those formative stories that really defines him. And one of the cool things about this episode is that as it goes on, he actually starts to sort of like fall back into like the sort of younger, more brash way of thinking as they get towards the top of the mountain.
Yeah. I think that was symbolic, well, 'cause he was acting less and less like Scrooge, being reckless and not thinking like doing things the smart way.
Yeah.
As he was getting further up the mountain, 'cause he was so determined to defeat his younger self, I guess.
Yeah, totally. What's your final moment there?
Okay, so in the episode description, it says that the snow-capped mountain holds a treacherous secret. Mm-hmm. And you and I both speculated that it could be a Yeti in the last episode. But instead, it goes like hard sci-fi, and it's just the mountain is covered in wormholes, portals that just bounce back and forth. And I love that. All of a sudden, this is no longer just an action-adventure kind of story. Now we're into science fiction. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I love it that you can just pull that out of your hat, and it's kind of normal in this universe. I love this show.
it's just the pure pulp adventure of it, right? It doesn't really matter. If it's mystical or if it's scientific or what it is, right? It's everything's fair game. And I think that's DuckTales to a T, because in the classic series, in the theme song, there's a moment where Scrooge is in outer space trying to get that dollar and a little alien snags it away, right?
Yep. So, and underwater and time travel and it doesn't matter. Totally.
It was a great kind of twist right there at the end, and you knew that something was going on because they're dropping hints all throughout that there's some sort of there's something weird going on where they're
Once you see the circles. Paintings, once you see the cave paintings, it was obvious.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Any behind the scenes or Easter eggs in this episode that you picked up?
Yeah, so there are some obvious references, I think, to the Everest ride at Disney World. Mm. There's just kind of the beware signs and no turning back, and the kind of the structure that they've built, like the stone archway that they kind of walk through at one point. Mm. And then in this has got to be a Disney reference, a Disney park reference, because in the the little village that's nestled in there, the tourist attraction, there is a churro stand.
Yeah.
And anyone who's been to Disney park knows that there are so many churro stands in those parks.
Yeah. Everywhere. Yeah.
There's not really a whole lot of Easter eggs or anything like that, but there is a reference to somebody from actual history, George Mallardy, the guy who cursed Scrooge and his dead body is found in that cave, is actually based on an actual person, George Mallory, who was the first person to climb Everest. He led the first three expeditions to Everest in the 20s, and in his last expedition, he never actually made it to the top, and he went missing. He and his climbing partner went missing, and he was missing for 75 years, just like in DuckTales here, 75 years, and then he was found... Yeah. His body was found in 1999.
Wow.
So I thought that was cool. Yep.
That's awesome, because that's a little bit of educational knowledge for our listeners.
Yep.
This week. That's cool. Awesome. Cool. Well, let's check in with our Junior Woodchuck podcast and see what Peter and Milo thought of the episode.
Hello, my name is Peter.
My name is Milo.
And today we are doing a podcast, The Impossible Summit of Mount Everest.
Peter, what was your favorite part?
My favorite part was when, Launchpad thought he had ice fever. It was really weird that happened.
My favorite part was when Scrooge McDuck was keep on going into portal to the top, but he was ending up the same place he was.
Weird. Just weird. Okay, so what did you learn in the episode?
I learned that Mount Everest isn't real.
I learned sometimes you could get there, but not all the way. You just have to give up in the middle.
That's what I do if I get stuck in video games.
Because if you come back to it, you could get better at it.
And better.
Anyways, see you next time.
See you next time. Bye.
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 Jared Boyd has been asking. He sent us a long email that we talked a little bit about a few episodes ago, mm-hmm. and he's been wanting us to talk about more because he goes into some stuff about Daisy Duck. He has a theory about Daisy in DuckTales, coming into DuckTales, and how she could possibly fit into the DuckTales world. So here's what he has to say here. Because I speculated that she wouldn't really have a place if they're going to bring Della into the picture, because Della would kind of fill that role of just having the sort of the more motherly and kind of, especially with the Daisy Duck from Quack Pack, I think with the more modern attitude, more modern kind of female sensibility, Della Duck would play that role. But Jared says, Daisy could be more of a Duckburg staple, either a potential contact who clues Scrooge and company on various mysteries or adventures that they then set out to solve, or else as a non-adventurer that Donald and the various kids and maybe even Beakley would hang out with when they need a dose of normalcy. Or taking inspiration from such media as the Wizard of Mickey comic series, I figure you can incorporate Daisy as a white witch slash sorceress type character, sort of a counter to Magica. I think that it also works because we know that from the Great Dime Chase, Scrooge has some sort of setup for magical defense, but we don't know who's in charge of it. Maybe it's Daisy. As there isn't really a classic DuckTale character that I'm aware of that fits that role, Daisy could be a fun and interesting fit. So what do you think of that?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's definitely an interesting angle. I could really see her as being sort of that Duckburg staple kind of character, and have her like own some sort of a shop or something like that, and be involved with Donald, and I could see a really great story where Donald doesn't want Daisy to know how ridiculous his life is, right? and is constantly trying to like that's always kind of the running joke with that, is that he's always trying to like downplay like the adventure, because Donald hates that stuff, right? Like, and I think we're gonna learn more about that later in regards to Della and everything, but to have him sort of like, you know, I on a date with Daisy at some point, and some sort of adventure is happening, and he's kind of running out to deal with a thing and then coming back in, and, you know, they're in a restaurant and the door swings and you see a ghost or something like that fighting with the boys. And, you know, I think that episode just kind of writes itself. So
there you go.
The creators of the show, if you guys are listening, you just send us an email. I can write that one up for you in a weekend, probably. happy to. I think that's where I would see Daisy coming in a little bit more. If they were going to introduce a character who was working with Scrooge McDuck to protect the money bin and sort of like to cast magical spells and stuff like that, I would actually want that to be Morgana from Darkwing.
Oh, interesting. Because
I think like that's a great character to be like, that is a character that is a counterpoint to Magica.
Yeah.
Right. Because when Morgana was introduced, she was kind of introduced as almost a bad guy.
Yep.
Right. And then over time it was like, well, she's not really a bad person. She's kind of more Adam's family than she is, an evil witch. Right. Where it's just, she's just weird.
Right. Right.
With her little spider buddy and she's got a little spider and a bat, doesn't she?
Yep.
Yeah. So I feel like you could introduce that character, you could bring her in, but I would want to update that character's look significantly. That's the thing that I've always hated about that character. I have no problem with the character herself, but the design always bugged me. And I know that it's very much a reference to, like I already said, Adam's family, and also
Elvira.
Yep. But yeah, I... Yeah, I mean, if Darkwing's going to be around, and we're, you know, we kind of have an idea of how that character is going to be introduced, but we don't know what the lasting impression of that character is going to be on the series.
Right.
I they could bring in Morgana and some of those other characters at some points as well. That'd be really cool. But, so that's my opinion on that.
Okay. Well, I think that if they wanted to keep her as her classic kind of character is, then yeah, she'd need to kind of set up shop or have a reason to constantly be checking in with the guys. Because like Gyro Gearloose, I feel, is one of those kinds of people where he's set up shop in Duckburg, and we'll check in with him every once in a while to see where he's at. But then, yeah, Daisy will need to have that kind of reason to go in between as well. Hmm. And like, she doesn't need to watch the nephews if they're away or whatever, because Beakley's around to do that. So she doesn't really fit that role. We'd have to see where they would. I'm sure they would come up with a good way, because they're good writers.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, as far as giving her like the mystical abilities, I think that would be just too much of a stretch for her character, because she's got such a long history of not being that character. It works for the Wizard of Mickey's one, because that is a whole genre comic where all of the characters, Mickey and Goofy and everybody, live in this Lord of the Rings type world.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that story, so I'll take your word for it.
Okay, do so.
I'll trust you on that.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. I guess that brings us to our lucky dime rating for this episode. So what do you give it, Curtis?
I'm going to give this one a 4.5, 4 dimes and a nickel, because I think it was a very solid episode. It wasn't quite perfect enough for me to give a 5, but it was pretty darn close. It was really a lot of fun.
Yeah, I really liked it as well. I agree with that. I go with 45 cents as well for my rating. So it rounds out to a nice 90 cents. That's pretty good. I mean, that's about as good as you can hope for with a show.
Yeah.
Is to have a nice 90 out of 100. So yeah, overall, yeah. I think my favorite episode in the series so far. But it'll be interesting to see what our listeners think of it. Do we have an update on our episode ranking?
Yeah, well, I mean, last time that we talked about it, we gave the results of the last poll, where in Infernal Internship got only 8% of the vote, so it got the boot. And Lucky Dime Chase, The Great Dime Chase got 25%, and then House of the Lucky Gander and Living Mummies of Tothra got 33% and 34%. So this time around, if you go over to @ToonAfternoon on Twitter, you can vote for your favorite episode out of these four. This is where we're at here. The Great Dime Chase, House of the Lucky Gander, Living Mummies of Tothra, and The Impossible Summit of Mount Everest. Out of those four, which is your favorite episode? And we will let you know in the next episode, yeah, what the final vote is.
Awesome, cool. Well, yeah, go follow us on Twitter @ToonAfternoon to vote in that, and retweet it around, like spread those tweets around to your friends and get some more people interacting on Twitter. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, our next episode, we're gonna come back and we're gonna do another classic episode, because we've got a bit of a gap, an indefinite gap at the moment between this episode and the next new episode of DuckTales. So we're gonna dig back into the classic, and we're gonna talk about the episode Armstrong. Here's the description. Gyro Gearloose builds a robot that can do anything efficiently and effectively. Then it goes berserk and takes over Scrooge's empire. That sounds to me like a classic DuckTales episode.
Sure does.
And obviously we've already had an episode with a robot built by Gyro that goes berserk in the new DuckTales. But Armstrong himself was actually referenced in the premiere of the series. So we figured this is a good enough reason to go back and watch this episode.
Plus, it's a great one.
Yeah, and it's a good one. It's a classic. So awesome. That's what's coming up next for us. But that does it for this episode, right?
It sure does.
Well, thank you guys for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode.
See you next afternoon.
Don't forget you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to cartoonafternoon.com, where you'll find everything DuckTales and Disney cartoon related for the shows that we cover. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/ToonAfternoon, as well as on Twitter at ToonAfternoon. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that by sending us an email at ToonAfternoon@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Curtis Findlay, KurtisFindlay.
And I'm on Twitter at ArkWulf, ArkWulf. And don't forget that we are a part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com. to check out all the other great podcasts in our network. And if you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch. Or you can head to patreon.com/thunderquack and pledge your support over there. It's a monthly pledge. As low as $1 a month gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Thunderquack Patreon Facebook group. So that's patreon.com/thunderquack. And thank you to everybody who does support us over there.
Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon is not associated with the Disney Company in any way. All characters, titles, music, and everything is all copyright of their respective owners. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon.